Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and, through the internet, deliver it to you. My name is Reverend Todd Laddick, and today I'm bringing to you part two of a three-part series entitled Jesus Warns, with today's message specifically entitled Faith Over Safety, which is based off of Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. So let us dive into the Word today. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more." The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops where you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant out into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Amen. We are being called to put our faith in Jesus Christ and actively follow him, regardless of the worldly consequences. It is easy for us to not share the gospel and to shy away from ministry because of how uncomfortable it may make us feel. And we would rather keep to ourselves and play it safe than to risk any consequence of people knowing too much about our faith. I mean, I've been there myself. We don't want to be viewed as pushy, overzealous, too religious, or a, quote, Jesus freak, end quote. By the way, great song. Check it out. DC Talk, shameless plug. Yet Jesus reminds us in John chapter 15, verses 19 through 20, "The world would love you as one of its own if you belonged to it, but you are no longer a part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. Do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than the master. Since they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they would listen to you." Now, today's passage in Matthew is yet another allegory, but this allegory feels more like a parable. In fact, it not only feels that way, it has a familiarity to us, as if we've heard it somewhere else before. And in fact, if you have read Luke, you have read this story before in the form of an actual parable. Luke chapter 19, verses 11 through 27 is where we find the parable of the 10 servants. And while Luke was writing around the same time, though slightly later than Matthew, that makes it, you know, that while that is the reality, they were writing around the same time, it's unlikely that Luke was really pulling from Matthew, because they were writing so close to the same time. It wouldn't have had enough time to circulate for that, for Luke to be pulling from Matthew. So plus this parable showed up in the Gospel of the Nazarenes, which has been lost to time, but was noted, referenced, and even quoted by early Christian church leaders. Thus, we can somewhat hypothetically construct what it said and what was in it. This gospel was believed to have been written by a Jewish sect of believers in Jesus of Nazareth as the Messiah, as Mashiach. This knowledge, plus other similar parables that show up in only Matthew and Luke, are not in Mark. So again, these, you know, this knowledge plus the fact that similar parables show up both in Matthew and Luke, but are not in Mark, tells scholars that there was another document being circulated, around during the writing of Matthew and Luke's Gospels. A document of Jesus's collected sayings and or quotes that has simply been named Q, based off of the German word Quelle, or source, as it is seen as the source document that both Matthew and Luke were pulling from. And the reason why it was given the German word as a name is because it was a German scholar who came up with the original hypothesis of this, the original theory. So this parable of the 10 servants that I am about to read to you in from Luke is one of those teachings, sayings, or quotes that most likely was in this document called Q. So let me read this parable in Luke to you, because it is important to see the similarities, but also the differences. So here's what Jesus taught us in Luke chapter 19, verses 12 through 27, in what is known as the parable of the 10 servants. A nobleman was called away to a distant empire to be crowned king and then return. Before he left, he called together 10 of his servants and divided among them 10 pounds of silver, saying, "Invest this for me while I am gone." But his people hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, "We do not want him to be our king." After he was crowned king, he returned and called in the servants to whom he had given the money. He wanted to find out what their profits were. The first servant reported, "Master, I invested your money and made 10 times the original amount." "Well done," the king exclaimed. "You're a good servant. You have been faithful with the little I entrusted to you, so you will be governor of 10 cities as your reward." The next servant reported, "Master, I invested your money and made 5 times the original amount." "Well done," the king said. "You will be governor over 5 cities. But the third servant brought back only the original amount of money and said, "Master, I hid your money and kept it safe. I was afraid because you are a hard man to deal with, taking what isn't yours and harvesting crops you didn't plant." "You wicked servant," the king roared. "Your own words condemn you. If you knew that I was a hard man who takes what isn't mine and harvests crops I didn't plant, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then, turning to the others standing nearby, the king ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one who has 10 pounds. But master, they said, "he already has 10 pounds. "Yes," the king replied, "and to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. And as for these enemies of mine who didn't want me to be their king, bring them in and execute them here right in front of me." So this is the parable close to how it would have probably appeared in Q. And it is quite clear, no matter the differences, Matthew's allegory is an adaptation of this parable, though markedly different. For instance, In Matthew's version, there are only three servants, which almost cleans up the Luke Q account, as there are 10 servants, but only three report back about their allotment of the money. In Matthew, Jesus says that the owner gave his servants 5 bags of silver in the New Living Translation version, which is what I read from. The word for bags of silver was talent, which actually didn't equal a bag, so to speak, but actually the weight of the bag. So a talent would have been the equivalent to 75 pounds of silver. I'll just let that set in. 75 pounds of silver. Can you even imagine what that's worth today? Which would have been about, in Jesus's day, 5 years' wages for a day laborer, something Jesus as a carpenter would have known well about. So in Matthew's version, there's one servant who is given 5 talents or 375 pounds of silver, worth 25 years' worth of wages for a day laborer. That's a lot of money, right? Even in today's world, 375 pounds of silver, OMG, who wants that in their stocking for Christmas, right? Will your stocking hold 375 pounds of silver? I doubt it. The next servant gets 2 talents, or 150 pounds of silver, worth 10 years of a day's laborer's wages. Still a lot of money, right? And the final servant got one talent, and we already know that is 75 pounds of silver, worth 5 years' wages for a day laborers in day laborer in Jesus' time. Still a lot of money, significantly less than the first and second amounts, but still a lot of money. Your stocking will definitely be more likely to hold 75 pounds of silver, but that still needs to be one very strong stocking. I mean, made of steel or something. I don't know. Now, let me ask you this. If you were given that money, any one of the amounts, I don't think any one of us would turn down any one of those amounts, even the 75 pounds of silver. If you were given that money, that any one of those amounts, and you knew your master was kind of a jerk, litigious maybe, and would hold you personally responsible if anything happened to the money, what would you do with the money? I mean, logically, and again, allegories are not married to logic, it would make sense to do what the servant with the one talent did. Hide that sucker somewhere safe and make sure every penny gets back to said owner, right? It's just not worth the risk to do anything else. The others did something that was not guaranteed to pan out. They took the money and invested it. Now, anyone listening, let me ask you this. Have you invested in the stock market? Any high-risk stock market gamblers out there? I know I'm not. Excuse me. We all know that while one can really do well investing in the stock market, one can also lose everything if they don't invest wisely. And we don't have to think back to the stock market crash way back in the 20s to know that that's very much a possibility and happens to people all the time. Yet these two other servants choose to take 5 talents and 2 talents respectively and invest them, hoping, and that is the key word, hoping that they would see a reward for doing that. Of course, they could have also lost their heads for doing that. It's kind of like the coach who decides to go for it on 4th down and then gets, you know, the quarterback gets sacked and they get stopped and it's a turnover on downs. In that situation, everybody's going to blame the coach, not cheer the coach on. But of course, if go for it on 4th and you make it, you get the first down, well, then everybody's going to say, what a brave decision. Woohoo. So these people who are investing it, they're taking a risk. They're hoping it's going to bring back a return, but what if it brings back a loss? Then who's the hero of the day? So what is Jesus getting at here? What is his point in telling this allegory directly to the bride, directly following the bridesmaid's allegory, which we talked about last week? And remember, last week we discussed how Jesus was warning us not to be caught asleep, but rather awake, meaning don't fall asleep on the job, but you must keep alert and aware and active in the ways Jesus calls us to. In other words, as Christians redeemed by Jesus Christ, we will live out our faith. In today's allegory, Jesus is warning us that the faith we are to live out trumps our desire to be safe. Again, Jesus is warning us that the faith we are to live out trumps our desire to be safe. We love to say, boy do we love to say we are people of faith, so long as we feel safe enough to say, let alone portray it. So we are a people of faith all day long if we're in a comfortable place to talk about faith and portray it. But Jesus is warning us that his followers are to put faith over safety. It's not about whether we feel safe to share our faith, but that we share our faith regardless. Now, can you imagine if Jesus put his faith, or excuse me, could you imagine if Jesus put his safety first over his mission? Oh, but Pastor Todd, you know, Jesus was the Son of God. He wouldn't have done that. Well, that kind of discounts the human side of Jesus, doesn't it? But okay, for sake of argument. Jesus is the Son of God. Can you imagine if Mary faltered in her faith because it was simply unsafe to be an unwed pregnant teen? What if her answer to God was, "Sorry, God, no"? What if? Jesus does not call us to safety, but to faith. In fact, elsewhere in Matthew, Jesus had this to say about the false hope of safety. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12, part of the Beatitudes, Jesus says, "God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven." And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. Now, it needs to be said that Jesus isn't telling us to unnecessarily throw caution to the wind in some sort of manic attempt at discipleship. But being a disciple means putting Jesus first. Oftentimes, the world is at odds with that. And as such, mission and ministry are not safe, and it takes faith in God to carry them out. The servants who took the money and risked it all The servants who took the money and risked it all to make the master more were people who knew the needs or the desires of the master and took risks to double the money given to them. And as such, those servants were rewarded for their proactive investment. And the one fearful servant simply hid the money. That the one who hid the money didn't even put it in the bank to collect minimal interest, but hid it and did nothing with the talents he had been given. Now, Jesus is warning his disciples that in the kingdom of heaven, there consists active participants in service of him. That's what the kingdom of heaven consists of. That is our role in God's kingdom. That is our part to play. If We will but put our faith in God and trust that the Holy Spirit will equip us to share the good news of Jesus Christ to others. Friends, you know as well as I do, life is risky. Amen? You all operate in faith in your day-to-day lives, taking risks without any real concern that the worst-case scenarios will happen to you. You do this when you get into a car, when you go swimming. Heck, even when you enter a shower, you do so not truly concerned you might slip and fall and die, or that Norman Bates might be lurking on the other side of the curtain. And you know what I mean. There was a generation of people who were afraid to take showers after watching the movie Psycho. As if before Psycho was made, that possibility of a stalker wanting to kill you didn't exist. Of course it did. But now people's attention were to it, and now they're afraid of it. So, we operate in faith all day long. Yet, we have such a hard time placing our faith in Jesus, because he's calling us to do something much bigger than us, something that is hard for us to see the whole picture on, and he's offering something very real but seemingly intangible. If you put your faith in Christ, however, the Holy Spirit will work within you and give you a boldness for Jesus you never knew you had before. I look out in my congregation, I'm sure there are people here who are listening to this in this very digital space who have become bolder and bolder in their discipleship. And if that isn't you, it can be you too. Sisters and brothers, not only shouldn't we fall asleep on the job, but we also shouldn't be timid in our faith. Yeah, ministry is risky business, but we should not fear that. Why? Because love conquers all, and God is love. Amen? Together, we can grow in our faith and in our commitment to Jesus Christ and make a kingdom impact here in Newton and wherever you are and beyond. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we just thank you for this opportunity to be inspired, but also challenged by you to grow in our faith, to grow in our evangelism, to grow in our willingness to share your love with others and to put our faith over our own safety. Lord, you're not asking us to throw caution to the wind, but to just be bold in you and let you worry about the consequences. Give us such strength that we may move forward in such ways. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, it's been a blessing, obviously, and an honor to have you here tuning in, listening to this. I hope you got as much out of it as I got in writing and preaching it to you. But with this said, it is a great opportunity each week to be able to engage with you in this way, and I hope you are getting as much as I am out of it. There, as always, we want to invite you to check out the episode notes. You will see the links in there. Also, links to our giving pages. If you're able to give to First United Methodist Church of Newton and its mission and ministries, that would be awesome. Obviously, I support your faith community first if you have one, but if not, we would love to be able to share with you in our mission and ministry and to have you participate in that financially and in whatever ways you can. With that said, this ministry is always free and should be, and I'm glad that you are able to listen to it and get something out of it. And with that, I will remind you that you are richly blessed so that we may be a blessing to others. Go in peace.